Good morning. The reading this morning is taken from the last book of Revelation. So Revelation 22, beginning at verse 8, which is on 1250 in your pew Bibles. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God." Then he told me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right, and let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him who hears say, "Come." Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which is described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.
In a moment, I'm going to ask those three people to come up and talk to us a little bit. But at first, I'd like to pray for them. Heavenly Father, thank you that you use weak people. You take us and you use us for your glory. Lord, let us hear what you have to say to us from your word in the lives of the people who serve you and love you. Make them bold, Lord. Give them the Spirit to utter the words you want them to, and help us to be receptive and take them in and see if it has meaning for us, Lord, and see how that's to work out in our lives. So I pray for this time, Lord, and pray that you would be with us in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Andrew, you come first, Andrew. Thank you.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning, and isn't it incredible that we have a book that has been read from that we, although requires interpretation, can see the future in? That in itself is quite incredible. And the fact that, as has just been read, John was instructed not to seal the book up, unlike in Daniel where he was told to seal and not reveal what is to come. We have the privilege of being able to see what is going to happen in the future. That in itself is unbelievable. I find this short passage that's been read of great encouragement and warning. In the earlier verses that weren't read today, we've seen an incredible vision of heaven as can be described in our language. God's dwelling with his people, with us. There are many things to be understood about these texts that have been read in the last few weeks. But I want to talk about what God has put on my heart as I've considered these last verses. I just wanted to start with a warning, because unlike other books that I'm aware of in the Bible, there's a very serious statement at the end of this book. There is a warning very specific about ensuring the integrity of its content. Do not modify it. If you modify it, there is a consequence. I keep telling my children about action and consequence. There is a consequence if you modify or change or take or add to this. There is no scope for modification, hence interpretation must be done very, very carefully. In my job as an engineer, I have to write reports. And from time to time, we send our reports to our clients and they come back and say, look, instead of saying this, could you sort of reword it and say this? And we at times think, well, okay, yeah, we can modify that. But there are times when we feel compromised, because what they ask us to say is not what we have understood from the information that we have. And there is a stress in what is going on. Here, there is no question. Be warned, there is no possibility of modification of this book. It is a prophecy that has been told, and you need to hear it. We need to hear it and listen. Even though this is true, I still found the text very, very encouraging, and there are a number of things that are very significant. We read, I'm coming soon. Who is that that is coming soon? The Alpha Omega, I, Jesus. There is an authenticity here. Even though he sent an angel to speak these words, I, Jesus, am coming. I, the Saviour of the world, our Saviour's return. It has been a long time, but we are not forgotten. The message is personal. I will give you your reward. It's a gift. I'd rather use the word gift. A reward sounds like you've earned it. I haven't done anything to earn that. It's a gift of eternal life in the presence of God. How are we to get this? Be washed in the blood of Jesus, in the blood of Christ. As I thought this through about the gift, the following things flashed through my mind, as you probably hear, terms and conditions apply. Subject to availability. Optional extras not included. Not valid with any other offers. 100% APR representative, etc. None of this. It's just a gift. What you have to do, you don't earn it. It's just given if you accept Christ as our Saviour. That's it. It's a free gift. It's our choice to accept Jesus as our Saviour. And the thing that really touched me about as I read this, and it could be just that it's personal to me, but you may see it, and it's been alluded to already this morning. Jesus knows our circumstances. Verse 15, if you read verse 15 again, it's almost as if he read the newspaper just the other day. Not having grown up here in this country, I'm not familiar with the newspapers and tabloids. As I understand it, the one that you read tends to define who you are, etc. But I was given a copy of the Telegraph a few days ago, and even in the Great Telegraph, the articles really saddened me. What I was reading about the violence, the turmoil, the suffering that goes on in this world. But Jesus knows that that is going on for us. He will bring a time when we will be finally free of that suffering, all that sinfulness and its influence. But the most significant thing to me, I guess, and I know my time is almost running out, right at the very end of Jesus' conversation with us in the text, he says, come, or I am coming. Come you and be with me. I have a place prepared for you. John 14 tells us that he's gone away to prepare a place for us. And not just that, he is coming back to take us to be with him. Thirst no more for righteousness. Thirst no more for freedom. Thirst no more for peace. It will be provided. Come and be with me, you who are washed in the blood of Jesus. Be encouraged. the Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. Of all there is, all there ever is and ever will be, knows the struggles and circumstances of his chosen saints. That's us. You and I, he has prepared a place for us. And the desire that he has, and I don't know why, is for us to be with him. He simply says, come, and I want to be there. And I'm sure you do too. Be encouraged. Jesus knows our circumstances.
These verses provoke a lot of different thoughts. There are many ideas and points to see if you look closely. I have found myself looking at the return of our Savior, the time you live in and what we do. What I'm going to share is what I feel God has put on my heart. When I look around us at all the injustice, selfishness, hurt, immorality, I think it shows that Jesus is coming soon. Three times we read this expression in the last verses of Revelation. Behold, I'm coming soon. God has blessed us with time and opportunity to share ourselves, to prepare ourselves to meet with him and share the good news to those who haven't got the hope of eternal life. Imagine if every day you had 86,400 pounds deposited in your bank account and that you had to spend it all that day. At the end of the day, your account would be cleared, and the next day, another 86,400 would be deposited. We are clients of that bank, and this bank is Bank of Time. God gives us 86,400 seconds every day to believe as best we can, being gracious, merciful, sharing, living. But how valuable is our time really? To know the value of a year, ask someone who failed their degree in the final year. To know the value of a month, ask a woman who had a premature baby. To know the value of a week, ask a child who's waiting for Christmas. To know the value of a day, ask a person who is enslaved in hard labor. To know the value of an hour, ask someone who separated from their intended. To know the value of a minute, ask someone who missed the flight. To know the value of a second, ask someone who managed to avoid a car accident. To know the value of a millisecond, ask an athlete who got the silver medal in the Olympics. Time is a precious gift that we recognize when you lose it. We need to take the opportunity today to pray for our nation and for the nations, to be a blessing to our community, to show that we care, to show that Jesus loves them. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow, mystery. Today is a gift. A gift from God. I would like to share a dream that I had that challenged me to think about what I do with my time. I was walking closely behind Jesus as we began to walk through a crop plantation which was ripe for immediate harvest. As we continued to walk through the field, the plantation size became clearer. It spanned as far as the eye could see. All of it was ready for harvest, and I was astonished as to how vast it was. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Every day that passes means that there is one less day. What are we doing with our time?
One passage, three completely different sermonettes. Wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful what the Bible can give us. 5 minutes, mind, because that's what the brief is. 5 minutes, you can time me if you like. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to come up with just 5 minutes on something. I can probably stand here and waffle on for quite a while if you give me the chance, but you won't, and that's fine. And I feel quite humble and unprepared being here as well. But as I've been reading through this passage this week, one thing really has come out to me again and again. In verse 7, I know that's slightly before the passage that we read, it says, "Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll." By the way, I've got no slides or anything, so if you want to have Revelation 22 open in front of you and you can just check these out, be my guest. Verse 10, "Then the angel told John, do not seal up the words." This is what Andrew said earlier on. "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy because the time is near." And then verse 19, the warning that Andrew also spoke about. "If anyone takes the words away from the scroll of this prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life." So it's important. I think that's what I got from that. From those three verses, all in the last chapter, it's important, like really important. And that's the prophecy of Revelation. So, not content with trying to do chapter 22 in 5 minutes, I'm going to try and do the whole book of Revelation. Starts off, don't worry, it will be 5 minutes, roughly. Chapter 1, we've got Jesus is Lord, haven't we? If you can remember back, there's that famous passage about Jesus being dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet with the golden sash around his chest, hair as white as wool, white as snow, eyes like blazing fire, feet glowing like bronze in the furnace. This is a picture of Jesus as Lord. Then after that, there are multiple descriptions, aren't there, of judgment, of ever-increasing intensity, I suppose, of judgment, and then Jesus triumphantly coming again, each in more detail, each homing in on a little bit more close towards those final end events, that final judgment. And then, towards the end, we see that there are two clear groups, don't we? One group is definitely described as God's people. So they're described in phrases like, those who worship before God's throne, or those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, or those who hold to the testimony of Jesus. These are God's people. And then ultimately, those who are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then there's another group of people, and they are those who are not those things I've just mentioned. Then Revelation goes on and describes how things will get bad for both groups. There'll be bad things happen, and then Jesus comes to judge. And those who are God's people will go with him to the recreated universe to dwell with God forever. Chapter 21, verse 3 and 4 says, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them." That's God's people. "They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." That's great news, isn't it, for those who are God's people? We can really rejoice in that, and we can thank God for it. And those who are not that other group, well, they end up with Satan and with all that is evil. Revelation uses phrases like, "consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur and thrown into the lake of fire." And then Revelation ends just where it started, with Jesus being there and being Lord. So that's Revelation in a nutshell. But what does it mean for us when we finish, as we come to the end of Revelation, although Paul might touch on it again? What does it mean for us if we're planning on heeding this prophecy? Well, I reckon if you're one of God's people, so if you're in that God's people group, it means two things. First of all, we should worship God for this. We should worship God for what he's done. We should worship him for who he is, for what he's rescued us from, and all that's promised. But also, let's be sharing it. Let's share it with those around us who don't know these things. But if you're here this morning and you're not sure whether you're in that God's people group or not, then I would urge you to sort of take some steps to sort that out. Talk to somebody this morning. Come forward for prayer. If you've got questions, we can help with those. Perhaps not all this morning, but we can certainly help. So please be asking. And just to finish up, I once heard somebody say that Revelation was easy to understand. It is, really. Things will get bad for a while, and then Jesus wins. And that is it in a nutshell, isn't it? It gets bad, then in the end, Jesus wins. So let's worship him for that.